This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. A new study shows that people who commit a gun crime are more likely to get that gun from a family member or a friend. The study traced how criminals get their guns, and it finds that they aren't really stealing guns so much or buying them from dealers. Instead, they're using social circles to arm themselves. Philip Cook is a professor at Duke Sanford School of Public Policy, and he co-wrote the study and is with me now. Philip Cook, welcome. Good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you, Frank. It's good to be here.
So tell us about this study. So what are the findings overall?
Just as you say, we found that the criminals, the offenders that we were talking to, would get their guns more often from their social networks, from people that they knew in other contexts, than they would from other sources that you could imagine. And, for example, if you say, well, where do they buy drugs? You know, often they would be buying drugs from a corner dealer that they may or may not know. But if you ask them where do they get their guns, they are definitely going to be using acquaintances, family members, people they can trust.
All right. Who did you talk to for this study?
The study was confined to Cook County Jail, which is the jail that houses inmates from Chicago who are awaiting trial. And we asked the sheriff to select a sample for us that would be the gang members and people who were involved in gun crimes and guns. So they came up with a sample of 100, of which we had to drop one.
So, why is that?
It turned out that she was a woman, and we were confining the study to men.
So you were confining the study to men, and you had 99, which seems like a relatively small sample size to me.
It is a small sample size, and we certainly designated this a pilot study so that this is supposed to create enough background so that we can build on it and go on and do a larger survey, which, by the way, we are planning on doing this fall.
And it was a significant proportion. Tell us what proportion said they got their guns from somebody they knew.
We found that 75% of them that were willing to talk to us about the gun that they had before they went to jail said that they had gotten that gun from family, friends, people that they knew. And the others got it from other street sources, or in just two cases actually bought it from a gun dealer.
So this is counterintuitive. I guess our thought is, if we think about it at all, and we think about ideas about gun control, we think, well, that's better background checks would restrict the number of guns out there and perhaps reduce gun crime. But this suggests that background checks wouldn't be effective in this case.
I think that the background checks have been effective, and that's why it is almost universal that the offenders are forced to get their guns from friends and relations rather than from gun stores. I think they, like the rest of us, would just as soon shop at a store where they have much better choice and a much better guarantee of the quality of what they're dealing with. They are blocked from doing that by our background check requirement and the fact that almost all of them are disqualified from owning a gun. They don't use fake identification. They don't try to bypass that, but rather they look to the informal market and they deal with whatever they can find in that market. A lot of them, not the ones that we talked to in this study, but in other studies, say that they have a great deal of trouble in Chicago finding a gun at all or even knowing where to get one.
So Chicago's tough. And is that because they have particularly strict gun laws?
Yeah, they do. Up until 2010, they actually banned handgun possession for most residents of Chicago. So it made it the probably the strongest, most regulated city in the country. And since then, they do have a number of strong regulations that are in place that still makes the city exceptional. For one thing, there are no gun stores in the city limits. So.
And that meant in this particular case, you found that people would cross state lines to get guns where I assume the gun restrictions are lighter?
Right. So The survey that we did of Cook County jail inmates is part of a larger study, and another source of information we had was thousands of guns that had been recovered by the Chicago Police Department and traced. And so for those guns, we knew where they were first sold new and where they came from, what their state of origin was in particular. And 60% of the guns that were recovered by the police were first sold outside of the state of Illinois. So definitely Illinois is a net importer. In fact, a majority of the guns are coming from Indiana or Wisconsin or the Deep South or some other place.
All right. And what about the guns? So if in your study, people who had committed a crime with a gun are most likely to get it from a social network, a friend or family member, where are they getting the guns?
Yeah. So that's a really important question. And I think by the time that I finish this project, I hope to be able to fill in some of the blanks. Certainly for the surveys, all I can hope is to find out the last transaction. What was the transaction that armed the criminal I'm talking to and gave them a gun that they then used in crime? And in some cases, we were able to get additional information about the intermediate steps. But right now, we can't fill in that blank very well. All we know is that most of these guns are quite old. They've been around a long time. They've changed hands many times. And our suspicion is that there was a key transaction in that history that moved them into the underground market. And that's where they've been circulating since then. So for future work, that's what I'm going to be looking for, is what kind of transaction is that? Is it a theft or is it something else?
So as you suggest, it looks like strict gun control works at least to suppress the sale of guns in the open market. And it also would suggest that people who are buying guns for illegal purposes know the gun laws, right? They're pretty sophisticated.
Yes, the people we were talking to, some of them were quite sophisticated about guns and about the law, and one of them gave us a little lecture about the underground gun market that actually aligned perfectly with other things that I knew from other studies that I had been doing. So, sure, I think that they're sophisticated, and if anything, they are exaggerating the likelihood that they're going to get into trouble with the police around gun transactions, about selling and buying guns and having them. They have a great deal of respect for the Chicago Police Department, which is one of the reasons why they tell us that they are only willing to buy and sell with people they know already, because they're so worried about encountering an undercover officer who's running a buy and bust operation, or buy from somebody who is going to turn state's evidence on them. So the irony is that if anything, the cops get more credit than they deserve. I think they're not actually doing that much enforcement.
Oh, you think there could be more enforcement?
Yeah, I wish that they in Chicago and in other jurisdictions as well, that there would be greater emphasis on enforcement of the laws that exist, and that there would be in particular more, first of all, buy and bust, a kind of undercover operations to put a further chill on the interest in transacting in the underground market. The other thing that I think would be very valuable would be that when people are picked up with illegal guns or using guns in crime, that they be pressed to tell the investigators what the source of that gun was, and that person also become part of the investigation.
That would then have a chilling effect on these transactions, even within families, right?
Even within families, yeah. That's right, that you don't want that to be that kind of transaction to be undertaken too lightly or easily.
This is a little discouraging, though, for those who make the connection between the sheer number of guns out there and the amount of mayhem and violence committed in this country by guns, and who see the direct connection between guns and death and destruction in this country. It's discouraging that, look, the guns are out there. You're not going to stop this. I mean, is there a way to repress not the sale but gun violence?
Yeah, I think there's many ways to take on the very serious problem of gun violence in this country. And certainly the question that I'm looking at in this particular study, which is how can we make guns less available to very dangerous people, that is just one of a variety of questions that I'm interested in and that other people who concern themselves with this problem are looking at. So I would not be naive enough to say that this is going to be the answer, even if we end up concluding that there should be stronger regulations in some jurisdictions or that there should be more energy on the enforcement end. I think it's still going to also be true that there need to be steps to discourage use for people that do have guns, and that needs to be a priority in law enforcement.
Philip Cook, thank you so much for talking with us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Philip Cook is a public policy professor at Duke University. He co-authored a study on where criminals get guns. Just ahead, Movies on the Radio takes a look at the 1967 comedy The Graduate. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.